Hey guys, our spooky friends.
Hello, spooky friends. How are you guys? We are great. Halloween is coming. It's like on its way.
Mm-hmm. It's actually gotten cooler. Like it's only, what is the weather today? I don't know. It's only like 80 something today.
Oh, only.
So it's definitely getting cooler. I know, it was super funny. We woke up yesterday and I was like, yeah, I think we're going to, you know, we're actually getting in fall. And Steve's like, yeah, the weather's getting cooler. And I said, yeah, it's only going to be like low to mid 80s now. And I looked at him and I said, did you ever think you'd live somewhere where the low to mid 80s would be cool weather? I love it. I love being warm.
Up here in Ohio, it's like barely hitting 70 at this point. So, yeah, it is.
Yeah, we're 84 right now.
It is actually cooling off up here. Our leaves will start turning here soon. So,
some of our leaves have started to turn. Some of them. But yeah, for the most part, it's, you know, it's cooling down. As in, it's not 112 with the heat index.
Yeah. So you guys already know by now that we have our Patreon back up and running. So if you want to be a patron of the show, help support the show, and also get some cool, spooky benefits from that, go click the link and check it out and see if there's something there that you're into. The most that it will cost you is $7.50 per month. So they are not expensive memberships. So go check it out.
We are under 10 bucks. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, today I figured since we are getting closer to spooky season, guys, you know, you all might want to go do some ghost hunting. There's probably going to be a lot of ghost hunts popping up either in your area or close by. And so you need to know what kind of equipment to take with you or what kind of equipment to expect your tour guide to have if you're going to go on like an actual ghost tour, how they work, that kind of stuff. So this is just the bare bones minimum. You can go holy crap balls crazy, although I do not recommend dowsing rods. But there are many, many options that you guys can have. So this is just your basics. We will have some affiliate links for some of these items because we have used them ourselves in ghost hunting when we went to Nanny and Grandpa's house, and can confirm that they work. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. So the first thing that I'm going to get started with is cameras/camcorders, right? So I have to specify camcorders because I think, Cindy, you can agree with me when you hear someone say, oh yeah, I have a camera. Okay, well, we need to record something, not just take pictures.
Yeah.
So camcorders, and you want to have, so basically it's any type of camera, but you want to be able to take videos with it. You don't really want to use your smartphone for this because you want to be able to have infrared so that way you can see at night. You know, it's got night vision on it, which is really the best way to go. So that way, you know, when you're looking in the camera, it kind of becomes your eyes. And that way you can review the footage and stuff like that. So infrared cameras, camcorders, however old you are, that's what you call them. those are definitely a must-have.
Just a quick comment. Who all's home with you right now? Because I heard something like a minute or so ago when you first started talking about camcorders. There was like a noise in the background, and I can't decide if that was a woman's voice or like a pet or something.
Someone came down the stairs.
Okay, so. Thank you. It's hard because your house is haunted, so I don't know. Like I heard that, and I was like, Okay. Yep. Keep going. Camcorders.
Yep.
Great.
So, our next option that we can get into is digital versus analog recorders. So, Cindy used a digital recorder when we were there. Basically, all it is it's that little piece of equipment that she's holding up right now. And it records. Thank you,
you're
Vanna.
So welcome. I was about to say that.
It records audio, Okay, it's strictly audio recording, and it's kept in a digital format. So most of them that are digital, they have some type of USB connection, USB-C connection.
Mine's fancy because you can do this and the USB slides right out of it. So you can plug it right in. That's my favorite feature of this one. I paid $50, I'm not going to lie, for this on Amazon. And I will put a link if I can find one.
That's about the mid-tier. I mean, obviously, there's way cheaper ones. There's way more expensive ones with a lot more bells and whistles on them kind of thing. You could be old school, too, and be like, I want to go at this Ed and Lorraine Warren style with analog recorders. so that is old school, right? And when we say old school, we mean like tape decks. You know, actual physical media that the recording is put onto. You can hold it. It's not just something digital that you have to put into a computer or playback from the machine. You can take it out of the machine and you can hold it. There was lots of times reel-to-reels used. There was, you know, phonographs used in the olden days when they did seances and stuff like that. So most of the time when you're looking at analog recorders, you're looking at tape decks. So you're carrying around a tape deck with you.
I feel like those wouldn't be as accurate.
It's actually really up for debate that it's more accurate because there's no technology getting in the way. You know, it's not having to go through any different types of signals. It doesn't have a whole bunch of, you know, electronics in the actual recording equipment. And it can be a lot more clear sometimes. It's a lot easier to, with analog, it's actually a lot easier to slow down or speed up or increase the volume on something that's really low that you may not have captured right away. So it's really up for debate. A lot of the newer ghost hunters, they prefer digital recorders. Obviously, you can pack a lot more data onto a digital recorder instead of carrying around, you know, 30 cassette tapes with you kind of thing. Versus some of the old school guys, they really still like that analog stuff because they're not getting any sort of weird white noise or something like that. You know, it is what it is. There couldn't be any kind of tampering with it, basically.
I could see that.
So another one that you guys have really, everyone should have heard at by this point. And if you haven't, then can you really be a ghost hunter? And that's EMF detectors, right? So electromagnetic field is what EMF stands for. And detector basically means that it's a little box that's going to detect where there's electromagnetic fields. This is used because the belief that ghosts, spirits, entities, whatever you want to call them, they require not always a mass amount of energy, but some amount of energy in order to manifest or interact with you or be present in the area that you're researching or hunting in. So if you have an EMF reader, and basically it's literally like you guys have seen in the movies. It's a little box. It's kind of got this like weird point on it that you kind of put around, and it's got an array of colored buttons, and it'll literally go up or down, and you know, based on the strength of the electromagnetic field that it's detecting. The thing to be aware of is if you hear it go off or see it go off or something, make sure you're not near any outlets, that you're not near any light switches or anything, because wiring in walls is electricity that can cause an electronic field.
Sometimes old appliances can do it too.
Yes, they can. So just something to be aware of. But they are pretty, if you're like, I think there was actually a couple spots in Nene and Grandpa's house that we had it go off, And we weren't near any walls, let alone any outlets within those walls and stuff. And I did test it. I put it up next to a light switch, and I put it up next to an electrical socket kind of thing, just to, you know, okay, it is functioning. It can detect these things, but it wasn't a constant thing. I think it was only like one or two blips.
And I think a couple of our followers that came to the meet and greet that weekend, I think that one of them said that they had it go off for them a few times when it didn't appear that it should have. So,
yeah. Yeah, they did. They did have it go off, which was pretty cool. Which that was in the middle of the day, but I'm not surprised because the house was absolutely packed with people, like, and that amount of excited energy. Yeah, I'm not surprised something happened. Another really good option if you're going around a very large space and you're not going to have people in those large spaces all the time is motion detectors. We used them. Motion detectors come in a wide variety. I mean, it can just be a light that flashes, you know, when motion is detected. It can be a permanent light that comes on for a set amount of time. They can be mounted on the floor. They can be mounted on the wall. They can be mounted on the ceiling. They can,
mounted at all. The ones we use,
right?
You know how you can buy those little lights that you can put in a bathroom or in a hallway so that during the night, if you walk through the hallway, it comes on for you. That's all I bought. I bought like a pack of 10 or 15 of them off Amazon for real cheap. And we just spread them through the house. And there were some of them that went off. Like they turned on when nobody was in that area. So those work really efficiently.
They do. And again, just like the digital recorders or the cameras/camcorders, there is a wide variety of motion detectors. So it's all about what budget you're looking at. You know, there's cheap ones and then there's, you know, some really expensive ones that I'm sure have extra fancy buttons and bobs that go with them. Ours were just like, hey, if you walk past us, the light goes on.
And it stayed on for 15 seconds, I think.
Mm-hmm. A really fancy something that you can take with you if you want to go above and beyond is thermal cameras, /camcorders. So these detect body heat. Again, you don't want to be using your smartphone for this. You can use your smartphone as a digital voice recorder. That has been known to work. Cindy gets a lot of her EMFs off of her smartphone. There are some things that you can use your smartphone for, but some things like the EMF and thermal cameras and infrared, so night vision, those you want to get dedicated cameras for, just because the apps that go onto smartphones, there isn't actually a sensor in the phone that will detect that. Basically, it's like an overlay. So the camera's recognizing that there's a body there and they're pretending to put infrared on.
And just to correct
it.
You, I don't catch EMF on my phone. I catch EVPs.
EVP. That's right. I was looking at my notes and like, oh yeah, Cindy does EMF. But yes, EVPs. So your digital or analog recorders will catch your EVPs, which is
electronic voice phenomenon.
Thank you. Yes. She's so smart. She's got enough of them. She should know what they are.
Happens to me all the time.
But thermal cameras are super cool because, like we said, they capture body heat.
They're expensive.
So, yeah, they are expensive, but they have come down. Because it's not brand new technology anymore, it's fairly common. So, you're still probably going to pay over $100 for your base thermal camera. Obviously, you can go asinine with it, of course, if you want to. But it is an option. It's obvious. It's not a necessity. Again, those last two, the thermal cameras and the one other one I'm going to talk about, those are additional options if you want to get real cray-cray with it. But how cool would that be if you had your thermal camera walking around and it's just you and your buddy, and then all of a sudden you see another something in front of you and you're like,
That would be cool. That would also induce a heart attack. But yeah, sure. That would be neat.
I would be excited. Cindy, I'm excited to go ghost hunting now because I feel like after spending time in Nanny's house, I'm like, oh yeah, let's do
this.
It's
not so bad.
Because I know that if I see it or experience something, it's really freaking there because I'm not as sensitive as Steve or Cindy, but like Cindy, oh man, she's so funny. Like we turn the corner and she sees something, she's like, nope, I'm out. I'm gone.
I did do that.
And then like she was upstairs and she's all of a sudden, you heard the fuck this. She comes running down the stairs and we're like, what? And she's like, something touched my leg.
Can't.
Don't know what it was because all y'all are down here. So I'm like, yep, we're down here now too.
There was that one time I went through that hallway to go outside and that little boy was right there at the end of the hallway and I just went, nope, and turned around. I didn't even say to you guys what happened. I just said, nope, 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 not doing that. And then Steve went over there to check it out, whatever I saw. And the minute he went in the hallway, he went, oh, hello there, because he saw him too. And I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not used to other people seeing what I see. So I was like, okay, all right, he's legit.
All right, this last one is kind of fun. Again, there's a few different options for it, but it's pretty straightforward, and that is the spirit box.
I'm so curious about those. I've never actually used one.
Yeah, they're not quite as common, I think, just because there is still a fair debate of whether or not it's legit or not. And I think it all depends on how it functions, right? Like there's debate on the validity because of how it operates. So how it operates is the box flicks, and if you guys look, it looks very similar to a digital recorder, but it's a little bit more square, like it's a little bit bigger and like more square instead of like a TV clicker. So the box rapidly flicks between AM frequencies with white noise as a filler. The received noise is then fed into an echo chamber on the box, which enables the spirits to manipulate the noise to form words, and then the output is fed into a speaker, thus allowing communication in real time. So basically what that means is the box is constantly flipping through AM channels, and it's all white noise. All the box is creating is white noise. And the thought is that the spirit that you're trying to communicate with will be able to take that white noise and manipulate it into words that they want to say, and then that's what you hear. So you can kind of see how it can be contested as like, okay, now your brain is trying to hear something, versus like really clear words, or that was that whole sentence that we just got there kind of thing. Most of the time you only get words, like singular words. Sometimes they don't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. Sometimes it is very clearly the answer to the question that you just asked kind of thing. So I don't know, maybe check with your local ghost tour guide, see if they're going to be using a spirit box. Check it out. Maybe they got some thermal cameras, you know, that kind of stuff. Or go get some yourself and let us know what you find. I'm sure as you guys saw, we caught stuff on camera, and those were Wyze cameras, so WYZE. And we just have those for like regular home security. They just, you know, I don't know if you can see, there's...
Oh yeah, there it is.
Right there. And we have it in my office just because there is a door in my office that goes to the outside. So, you know, if anyone busts in, we need to see who it is kind of thing. But, you know, so that was what we used in upstairs in when we had River and his mom and dad over and caught stuff on that camera, which I love. You guys had a great reaction to it. I absolutely loved it. Everyone was like,
yeah,
what?
Like, what in the holy heck just happened? It sounded like a dog growling, like that guttural.
So don't smoke, kids, because that's what you sound like in the afterlife.
Jeez.
And of course, follow up to any good ghost hunt just to make sure that you are fully prepared. Check all your equipment ahead of time before you go out. Make sure that you read the user manuals to make sure that you understand how it all works.
I feel like you're calling Cindy and I right now.
Dude, that was both of us. Like, who the heck knew that you had to charge the microphone
separately from the camera?
Separately from the camera that it was plugged into while you're
recording. I feel like if you plug it into the camera should be powering it.
Right.
Just saying.
And it should be on.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. So, of course, make sure all your equipment is functioning the way that it should be. Bring extra batteries, flashlights. On those flashlights, you want to either have clear or red lenses, depending on what type of cameras that you're using. You don't want to have, like, frosted ones or anything like that. Red, because it does not interfere with night vision cameras or thermal cameras. But you can still see really well to navigate around in the dark. Walkie-talkies, if you and your partner are going to be splitting up in the location that you're in, of course, double-check the distance of those walkie-talkies before with the distance that you're going to be traveling around in. And then always bring snacks and water, because if you've seen VHS,
oh geez,
it's not good.
Listen, bring more batteries than you think that you need, because paranormal energy tends to drain, paranormal activity rather, tends to drain batteries, because they need to get energy from somewhere. And if you have a nice little source there with you, yeah, they're going to use that. So you might find that your 100%. Equipment will go from 90% charge to zero in like 5 seconds. So be prepared for that.
Then you know you got a good
one. Yeah, then you need to hurry up and get some new batteries in that thing, because something's there.
So those are my base ghost hunting equipment that I think that you guys should have with you, or think about getting with a couple extra fun ones thrown in. If there's something specific that you guys want to know more about or anything like that, definitely leave a comment below, like and subscribe while you're at it, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss any of that spooky stuff on our channel. And if you're listening on our podcast, we thank you for listening in, and join our Facebook group to give us some comments or send us an email.
Those are all the
Cindy
things.
Cindy has that email. Cindy, where can they email us?
They can email us at cynthia@truehauntings.com. Yeah, so do it. And we have affiliate links that you can check out if you so desire. It does not change your amount at all. So you still say the pay the same price as you always would, but they give us a little tiny cut, like a little tiny benefit for referring you. So it's not going to change your price, but it will help support the show a little bit. It's like 5 cents or something, but still totally counts.
And of course, if you guys do go ghost hunting and you get some experiences, either share that with us on the Facebook page or send us an email with that story and the videos if you want, and we will be happy to share that on the
show.
Yes,
that's our favorite episode to do, is true stories submitted by our listeners. All right, guys, you know what this means. Until next time, we will spook you later.
Woo!